You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
So John 15, I said, and just as we enter into this, again, very, very essential foundational series, I just want to say from the outset too, this series is that. This series is foundational. If you call this church your home, you need this series. We must live out the 5G life. It's the foundational discipleship of what it means to follow Christ. By the way, the 5G life, like, it's just 5G's packaged in such a way that it's easy to remember and to apply, but it's just based on Scripture. It's what Jesus taught, the other New Testament authors taught on what it means, again, to pursue Christ. So with an open Bible, it's irrefutable based on Scripture. This series is foundational. Next, this series is instructional. This series is designed for you and I to say, hey, where should I go when it comes to my discipleship? Where do I go and how do I get there? That's what we're trying to do right now. We're going to show you, go this way, and this is how you go in terms of seeing your discipleship for Jesus Christ, again, grow. This series is foundational, it's instructional, and it's also transformational. So as we apply and live out the 5G life, here's a guarantee: we will change. We will be transformed in Jesus Christ, and we will be blessed. That's a guarantee as well. Say, Robbie, how can you say that we'll be guaranteed to be blessed? Because the 5G life is the will of God. It's just, again, Scripture open. It is a discipleship pathway based on the teachings, again, of Scripture. So therefore, the will of God is always blessed. The will of God is always blessed, and the will of God is the 5G life, as we'll see as we go through, again, these passages over the next 5 weeks. So therefore, you pursue the 5G life, I guarantee you, you'll be transformed. Not easy, you'll be transformed. I guarantee you, you will also be blessed as well. Also, the elders are not hiding at all or shying away from in this series. We do have an agenda with this series. And the agenda is to get as many people as possible into the center of Hope Bible Church. The ultimate agenda is we have more people belong to this church, to see more people steward their gifts for Jesus Christ in this church at this time. We want to see more people on mission for Jesus Christ. Again, that is the agenda for this series. And ultimately, what we're seeking to do, we want less people spectating and more people participating. You will be challenged in this series to get off the bench and get in the game. It is not okay for you to sit here and do nothing. It is not okay by the standards of Christ. It is not okay by the teaching of Scripture. It is not okay with the Holy Spirit, what He's given to you through giftedness and He indwells you. It is not okay for us as leaders in this church. You cannot sit here and just watch. You are being commanded and called and invited to participate as a genuine Christ follower again in this church and to see fruit come from your life. So that is exciting for us, less spectating, more participating for every person here and all those again that are tuning into this message right now. Just before we get into this one verse, I just want to take another moment as we kind of intro this series. Why is time in every G? Why is time the key common denominator with God time, gather time, group time, give time, go time? Why is time so massive? Well, here's why on the screen for you. It's because of this. Every quality relationship requires time. I mean, just try building a marriage without spending time with each other. Pretty tough. Not going to go great. Try having a genuine friendship. We never talk to one another. It's not going to work. It's not going to go. There's no growing relationship apart from time spent together. So, 5Gs. You want to know God more, not without spending time with Him. You cannot see God as some kind of abstract concept over there in the corner, but you never actually engage Him. We must spend time with God to know God, to grow in God. Gather time, church. Church is so important to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He died for the church and He married the church. The church is massively important to Him and needs to be important to you as well. Time with the church proves our relationship with Him. Group time, time together with other believers, brothers and sisters. Time together builds accountability. You can't do this on your own. Absolutely, the church is designed for us to be in fellowship with one another. Give time, taking the time to use your giftedness, taking the time to use your resources to bless the kingdom of God. No time, no chance. Go time. actually engaging on mission for Christ. We don't do that from our couch, just sitting there doing nothing. We must take the time. So time is everything. And here's what I want us to think about too as we start this series as well. Do you know that every single one of us, this is very important to me, I was so glad to be reminded of again this week, all of us have been given a stewardship of time. We have been entrusted with our lives with a stewardship of time from God. How we steward our time will determine, listen, who we are, where we are, and how blessed we are or not. Now think about that. I want to pause for a second. I want you to take that in. We have all been given a stewardship of time. And how we choose to use our time will determine the essence of our lives. Will determine who we are, where we go, and whether or not we know and receive the blessing of the Lord. It's amazing to me, too, in so many ways, right? So every person who ever lived will be judged at the end of their lives. Unbelievers will be judged based on, again, whether they rejected Christ or not. And so that heaven and hell is at stake for those who, again, have chosen to reject Jesus Christ. Believers will receive a judgment, too. Believers in Christ, not a judgment on salvation, but a judgment on how have we stewarded that which has been entrusted to us. I want you to feel that. I want you to think about it. I want you to consider it. All of us in the end, in some way, will stand before Jesus Christ and will have to give an account of how we have stewarded the time that was entrusted to us. That's sobering, but that's also exciting. God, help us to steward our time with fruitfulness and wisdom, and in you being the priority. So that's why, again, time is so massive. So we start today with God time. God time. One verse today from John 15, 5. We'll build around this verse as well from John 15, 5. So take a look. Bible's open. Excited to go through this with you. John 15, 5. And let me just say this too, just as we begin. It's so wonderful to be here today. It's so wonderful to see all of you, and let me just say this too, and you know, when you go away for a good chunk of time this summer, my wife Jill and I, our family at times as well, I love perspective so much, and perspective comes, you know, again, with different means and different ways. Let me just say this, the people of this church are just so beautiful. They're so beautiful. They're so beautiful in the Lord. I've seen so many beautiful people here already today, and even when we're, so my summer was a unique summer, and I appreciate the grace of being able to be away for a little longer than normal. I had a week of classes down in North Carolina. I'm taking my doctorate right now, and then I had a week of preaching it up at NBC and a couple of weddings, bookending of that, and then a little mini trip to Brooklyn, New York, Brooklyn Tabernacle for a prayer conference, a little bit of leadership there with 6-4 fellowship, and then some rest beyond before and after that as well, and a whole bunch of schoolwork as well, whatever, but a very unique summer, but you're gone, you come back, and you just say, man, when I was doing things too in each location, I saw some people from our church, and I just want to reiterate that, man, our people are beautiful. You all are beautiful, all right? You take that. Right? And in the Lord, that's what he does. And what I love so much about this series and what we're doing today, this passage today, this verse is designed to make you look even more beautiful. Every single man or woman and child who abides in the Lord Jesus Christ will instantly become more beautiful by the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. When you get the sap and the juice and the nutrients of Jesus flowing from his vine into your branch, you will bear beautiful fruit and you will be beautiful. We are blessed. We are so blessed. Let me say one last thing too before I read this verse. I'm so blessed by our teaching team over the summer. What an amazing job they did. So fruitful, so fantastic, so gifted, and so blessed. We thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. So blessed. I don't take that for granted either, and I never go away, and I never worry. The elders, the way they lead, and our pastoral staff, and everyone, just amazing. So, Lord, thank you for that grace. John 15, 5, take a look. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So much here, so much around it, so excited. So we start here. Here's the question we're asking. Why God time? Why, Robbie, should I spend time with God daily? Why is this so important? Or why must I abide? Why is abiding everything in the Christian life? Why, if I want to have any chance of bearing fruit, not without abiding? Three answers to this today from this one verse. Number one, Why must I abide? Because Jesus is the source of my life. That's why. You must abide because Jesus is the source of your entire life. Verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Let's stop right there. I'm the vine. Man, I love this stuff. You are the branches. So what Jesus says right there, we can read that phrase and we can, you know, appreciate it, but do we really understand what Jesus is saying? What Jesus just described, he's the vine, his disciples are the branches. He just described the most powerful and intimate relationship in all of creation. You need to hear that. He is describing the most powerful, beautiful, and intimate relationship in all of creation. No relationship more powerful, no relationship more beautiful than Jesus Christ the vine with his branches in union with him. Jesus essentially, he looks down the level of his disciples and he says, my child, I need you to know that I am supernaturally connected to you and you are supernaturally connected to me. I mean, that when you think about that, that is wonderfully awesome. This is what Jesus is saying. This isn't just some kind of like relationship at a distance. Amen, I hope you do well. He's like, no. You are literally in union, attached as a branch to the vine of Jesus Christ, God himself. That is awesome. That is astounding, and that is something that we need to dwell upon. So when Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, his disciples immediately think of all the grapevines through ancient Israel. They were everywhere. His disciples would immediately pick up an imagery, an example, as they apply it. They know that the secret to the life of the branch exists entirely being attached to the vine. The branch is not in the vine. The branch cannot feed. It will not have strength, vitality, again, nutrients, nourishment. The branch is dead apart from the vine. So the branches rest entirely upon the source and power of the stem, the vine. And Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If the disciples are following Jesus here, they'll understand right away, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Here's what they understand. Here's what they would apply. Listen, no vine, no chance. Not no vine, almost a chance, or no vine, 60% chance. No. Hear this today too. This is for some people right now, man. This is important stuff. No abiding the vine. Listen, you have no chance to bear fruit. Zero. No vine, no fruit. No fruit apart from the vine. No vine, no strength. No vine, no supernatural love. No vine, no life. Let me say it one more time. No vine, no chance. No vine, no chance. Zero. Jesus Christ is that awesome. Jesus Christ is that essential. Jesus Christ is life itself. All believers of Jesus Christ in the house, you must hear and must see and must be filled with desire. No vine, no chance. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. I've said this already, alluded to this. What is he referring ultimately here? To none other than our spiritual union with Jesus Christ. This is an incredibly important theology. By the way, I love theology so much because theology, when it's properly applied, produces worship and humility and gratitude and praise. This is what theology is designed to do. So what does it mean that we are in union with Christ? Our union with Christ speaks to the source, listen, the source of our communion with God. A believer in Christ has communion with God, but how is that possible? It's possible through our union, the branch being attached to the vine. Because this theology is so important, and some of you haven't been taught this before or heard this, let's just go through this together right now, and I want to unpack for a few moments the theology of our union in Christ. You say, well, what are the roots? Like, how is this union ever possible? The roots of our union to be attached to Christ begins with election. Ephesians 1, before the foundations of the world, you have been chosen in him if you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. That hurts my brain, and I'm okay with that. But that's the roots of union. Then, but what's the basis of our union? How is the union possible? Because we can't produce it ourselves. We don't produce it by our works. We're completely helpless. The basis of our union to be attached to Christ is Christ's work on the cross. The whole way that this is even possible is because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood that we might be forgiven, and now we have his righteousness. So his work on the cross is our basis to be in Christ at all. No cross, no chance. But now we see, what is the actual union with Christ look like? How does the Bible teach us what the union of Christ is? Well, the initial union occurs with regeneration. Regeneration is we become new creation. We're new creatures. We're born again. We're made alive in the Spirit. See, and this is all by the Spirit of God. At one point or another, God quickens our lives. He makes us alive. Regeneration, all of a sudden now, we go from dead, now we're alive. We're now actualizing our union with Christ. When someone is regenerated, they become born again. Then they have the ability now to see Christ for who he is and appropriate our union by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We're made alive, and then we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by what God has allowed us to see. We take hold of our union with Christ by faith. We are then justified by our union. See, once this happens, none of this can stop. This is guaranteed now, the rest of this happens. When you're regenerated by faith, you will receive again Jesus Christ. You will be justified, declared innocent because we are now in Christ. You will begin the process of sanctification. A big word just means you will grow like the Lord Jesus Christ because we are in Christ. His power flows through our lives to bear fruit. We are sanctified. Let's go to the next slide here. Because of our union with Christ, we are guaranteed the Holy Spirit will indwell us. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. We are now temples of the Holy Spirit because of our union with Christ. Because of our union with Christ, listen, you're not in Christ and then fall out of Christ. Theologically impossible. In Christ, once, always. That means you will persevere to the end. Why? Because Christ is in you. We are in Christ. He, what he starts, he will finish. Amen, church? He will carry us on to the end. That's so encouraging and so wonderful right now. To be in Christ, you can't be out of Christ. And if we're in Christ, we persevere. We are guaranteed to be raised with Christ. Awesome, Colossians 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, and then one day when he returns, we will see that all reality, and then we shall be eternally glorified with Christ forever and ever. Amen. Because of our union with Christ, because of what Christ has done. This is a beautiful theology, isn't it? It's powerful and it's awesome. What should this result in? It should result in these emojis right here. It should result in these. When I go through the reality of my union, that Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches, that blows my mind. It blows my mind, chosen for the foundation of the world. I'm justified, sanctified. One day soon I'll be glorified. Wow, I just can't fully grasp it, and that's okay. It makes me humble. Humbles me before the Lord. How can this possibly be? It's nothing I've done. It's not by works. It's by grace. It's through faith. It's all Jesus Christ. Humbles me. I want to praise the Lord. God, you're awesome. Thank you, thank you. You are the vine and we are the branches, and you saved us and redeemed us and you paid for us and you became our propitiation, bearing the wrath of God on our behalf, and one day soon you will return. We praise him. I think this is 100% guaranteed. All of this is 100% certain because of what Jesus Christ has done. And lastly, because of all this, we should just throw a party. Right? You should throw a theological praise party, because is there any greater truth than being in union with the Lord Jesus Christ? There isn't. Nothing else even comes close. He is absolutely everything. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Let me say it again. There's no more important relationship in all of creation than you and Jesus. Like, no one even comes close. You're like, well, me and my best friend, we're pretty close. Well, you're not as close as you and Jesus, man, okay? Your best friend can't save you. Your best friend can't choose you for the foundation of the world. Your best friend can't redeem you. Your best friend can't die on the cross for you. Your best friend can't glorify you. Your best friend can't cause you to persevere to the end. Your best friend may be fine. They're not Jesus. Listen. There is no more important relationship in all of creation than Jesus Christ as the vine and his children being branches attached to him. So that is why, think about the outworking of this theology then. The most powerful, beautiful, intimate relationship in all of creation. Well, no wonder then, Jesus must be our highest calling. Jesus must be our greatest devotion. Jesus must be our deepest devotion and strongest emotion. Of course he should be, because he is everything. He is the source of our entire life. Listen, Jesus Christ is the sap and juice and vitality that flows through you and me that we might have life and bear fruit. No one else can do that. Not even close. Not even 1%. Christ is only the one who can do it. Jesus Christ is the source for buds, the leaves, the blossoms, and all true fruit. This is why we love him, church, and this is why abiding is everything. You know, happened again this week, just a couple of days ago. I saw this pretty large branch hanging from this tree, and it was detached and caught in the thing. I went and grabbed it and pulled this. It was a pretty large one, and I pulled the branch down, and sure enough, this branch was dry and cracked and withered, and it was dead. And I broke it all down and put it in one of those leaf bags or whatever, and because the branch used to have life, but it got detached from the vine, and no life was in it anymore because the branch cannot exist by itself. It is absolutely entirely dependent upon the source of life and strength and sap and nutrients. And any branch that's not attached to the vine is a branch that will not last. It does not stand a chance. Jesus Christ is the source of my life. This takes us to point number two. Why must I abide? Because Jesus is the only way that I will bear fruit. The only way I will bear fruit. Verse 5 again. Look at verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The key verb here, of course, is abide. You should know that. Abide, man. Just, oh, wow, the power, the blessing, the joy of abiding. What does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? You've likely been taught abide means to remain. That's good. To remain in Jesus. To stay in Christ. Yes. To draw life from. Good. Excellent. Another way to define it maybe too, to abide is to make one's home. When we abide in Jesus, we make Jesus our home. He is where we dwell. Think what a home does, if we take that analogy, what a home does for us. Our home is where we draw life and nourishment and strength and rest. The home is, again, so much of where our life comes from. Christ is to be your home. Jesus is to be where you and I dwell. To abide in Christ. Look also now at verse 4. Let's get some context of our passage. Look at verse 4 now. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So notice again, one small word, verse 4 and verse 5. Whoever abides in me, that's so key. We must abide in Jesus. Again, the branch does not live outside the vine. The branch dies outside the vine. The branch exists and flourishes in, attached to the vine. So, you say, I want to bear fruit. Not if you don't abide. Hear that again. I want fruit, not apart from abiding. No abiding, no fruit. No abiding, no chance. Your effort, my effort, won't get it done. You want fruit? Must 100% abide in one source, Jesus Christ. You ever thought about this too? The branch by itself doesn't just like try harder and squeeze out an apple. The branch must be attached to the trunk to receive life, sap, nutrients, juice, power, strength, and it's the stem or the trunk that fills the branch with the ability to produce the apple. The branch is severed from the trunk. No apple, man. No apple. We must abide in Jesus Christ to see fruit come from our lives. See, this is important too. This is really important to all of you. Many people think, if I try harder, I'll bear fruit. No. It's not your activity that bears fruit. Listen carefully. This is a very, very important distinction and observation. It's not your activity that bears fruit. It's your relationship with Christ. The more we abide in him, the more fruit that automatically flows from him through our lives. We don't sit down and try harder to squeeze out fruit. We abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then his power flows in and through our lives. And that is when we start to see fruit that we could never produce on our own. It's interesting too, if you look at verse 1 now, Jesus says, I'm the true vine. One of the ways you're studying scripture, which is really helpful too, is to say, well, what is the opposite of that? So if Jesus says, I'm the true vine, he's insinuating there are false vines. He's the only true vine, but then anything that's not him is a false vine, and the false vines may promise fruit, but they will never be able to produce fruit. False vines are deadly. This is very important next section here too. For all who are listening right now, maybe in Orangeville, what's up, Orangeville? So glad you're here. Bless you, love you so much. And Overflow, whatever people here right now, listen, there are many professing Christians who are relying entirely on external, ritualistic, formal forms of behavior. When you are leaning on external, ritualistic behavior, you are not abiding, therefore any fruit isn't actually real. So right now we are representing in this room the visible church. You know the difference between the visible church and the invisible church? The visible church is what we see in front of us. Everyone here looks like they're part of the church, but the reality is not everyone in this room is actually saved. The invisible church is only what God sees. I can't see it, you can't see it. God knows every heart, God sees everything. The invisible church represents the actual reality of those who are saved and actually truly part of God's church. There are many people part of the visible church, meaning across this nation today, I mean still in the darkness of our day, there's still so many people showing up at church, sitting down, going through a ritual, believing that somehow that means that they are live branches attached to the vine. But in many cases, that's not true. You have people who think they're alive, but there's no true grace, there's no true faith, and there's no Holy Spirit. And obviously, that's a major problem. See, what Jesus is teaching here, if anyone is truly experiencing union with him, then fruit must come. You cannot be truly saved in Christ and be in union with Christ and not bear genuine fruit. If you're truly saved in Christ, you will bear true fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the danger, though, of all this is that religion has been so devastating. And when I say that, I mean religion in ritualistic forms of human effort trying to save themselves by works. That religion has blinded so many to the life-giving relationship of abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why verse 6 is so key. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's very serious stuff. You see? So what happens? You have many people sitting in churches who are dead branches, but they think they're alive. Why? They think they're alive. They've been taught they're alive because they've been baptized. Well, hold on a second. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is a symbol of the fact that you've been saved. So I've been baptized as an infant. So was I. So what? I was baptized as an infant. I was dead as hell for 22 years. Baptism doesn't save you. Other people think, well, I'm a member at a church, therefore I'm saved, I'm alive. Who says church membership doesn't save anyone? Only Jesus Christ can do that. Other people are relying on church attendance. This is so common. People, well, I go to church every now and then, and so I sit down and I'm doing a good deed. Here I am sitting in church. Well, that doesn't mean anything necessarily at all. And the biggest one I find is people say, and I've encountered this just in recent days, is this idea, well, I'm a good person. And so my outward morality means that I'm good, I'm saved, and yet there's no fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. Outward morality does not save. It's a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ where that individual abides, and as they abide, then they begin to bear genuine fruit in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why verse 8 now is so important. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, Jesus says. What? That you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So stay with me. This is massive here. Okay, ready? True fruit is the proof of true abiding. True abiding is the proof of true discipleship. That's so important, let's put it on the screen. Watch, true fruit is the proof of true abiding. and true abiding, intimate, genuine relationship with Christ is the proof of true discipleship. If we go in reverse, someone who's a true disciple, truly saved, is someone who truly abides. They truly are attached to the vine. And when they truly abide, then they bear true fruit. Fruit is not human effort here. Fruit is not the good works based on my exertion. Fruit is the supernatural fruit of the Spirit. True fruit is supernatural of the Lord, not of humans. And this fruit only comes from abiding. And abiding truly only comes from those who are truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a fundamental, foundational passage today. So massive, so important. In some ways so exciting, but also so convicting. So, abiding is everything. No abiding, no fruit. No vine, no chance. Let's ask ourselves these application questions now then. What are we abiding in? Right now. Who? That's a good question. Who are we abiding in? Do we abide in our phones more than Jesus? Now, the answer for a lot of us here, the answer to that question is yes. We abide in our phones more than Jesus. Listen, let me just say it lovingly. That's a problem. That's a problem. I have another question. Are we abiding more in social media than the Bible? Do we remain in social media more than the Bible? The answer for a bunch of us to that question is yes. That's a problem. See, Robbie, why do you always bring up phones and social media? Well, just because it's one of the greatest idols we face in our day. That's why. And I'll keep bringing it up, so you're stuck with it, all right? Until we all change, we are battling distraction and deception on a daily basis as much as ever. And some of the greatest idols that steal our hearts away from the Lord Jesus Christ are all these things and one device that sits in our hand and we stare at and we're run by, and all these other platforms that go on, whatever, they are taking people away from the heart of Jesus. Can they be used for good? Yes, of course they can. But I live like you live, and for the most part, I'm unconvinced that there's more good than bad when it comes to such things. If we are abiding in such devices and such platforms more than Jesus, let's just be honest with ourselves, I have a problem. And hopefully today you're like, Lord, I want to fix that problem. Do we talk about our challenges and problems more than we pray? If so, that's a problem. By way of example, I was out for a walk with my wife Jill maybe a week or so ago, and we're walking around our neighborhood and we're talking about some situations in life and some challenges, and these things are on my heart, whatever, and we're going along, and my wife's so good at this with me too, so often as well, but we're talking, and at some point I'm just like, well, enough talking, we need to pray. And just in the moment, just say, we just need to pray. Let's just pray. It's interesting. Maybe talk, right? Right? Some of us are really good talkers, right? Some of us, we are so good at talking, but we're so bad at praying. Because it's so much easier to talk, isn't it? It's so much easier to talk. How many believers get together? Talk. So much talking, and there's no prayer. But the moment you say, you know what? We talked enough, and nothing's solving right now. Why don't we pray to the one who can solve our problems? How about we engage and abide in the one who is actually capable of hearing, responding, transforming, and helping us see the fruit that we can't produce in ourselves. And by the way, I mean, that's just so simple, but so beautiful. Like a lot of us, again, we talk, but just like to stop talking and say, you know what? Like, we've talked a lot. Let's pray. By the way, today, if we've said this a lot in our church history, and Lloyd Jones said it. He said, never refuse the impulse to pray. So you're talking, and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, maybe you should pray. In that moment, just pray. It's super awkward sometimes. It's pretty funny though too, right? You're talking, I'm going to pray. I've been with people like that, and you're having a conversation, and just like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're like, just start praying, and they don't even give you an intro, and you're like, okay, let's do this. You know what I mean? And there you are, and you're praying, but am I going to fault that? No. I'm like, okay, that's a good word. I'm convicted. Impress me. I need to grow more in this. Like, I need to grow more in this. God, help me. God, because the moment we pray is the moment we abide, right? You can talk all this Christian stuff a lot and it sounds good, but there's not actual any engagement with Christ there. You're just listening to each other, and sometimes we turn into gossip even worse, so we're anti-abiding at that point. But then to pray, so today, like maybe in the foyer, maybe after church here in the service, maybe you're in the car on the way home, maybe tonight at home, maybe you're talking to a friend, and then the Holy Spirit's like, hey, enough talking. Let's do some abiding. Let's pray. Obey. Pray. And engage the Lord. Lord, help us to abide more than we just talk. Here's a question. Are we led by unbelieving friends more than Christian friends? If so, that's a problem. Are we influenced more by unsaved, unregenerate people than our... No, let me just say this. Is it good to have unbelieving friends? 100%. Do I? Yes. And appreciate them. But listen, an unbelieving friend at best is neutral in your life when it comes to Jesus Christ. And that's best. Most of the time, it's either subtly or not subtly shifting you away from Jesus Christ. Believers, we are designed, we're going to see this in gather time and group time. We are designed by God in his body to encourage one another, to stir up one another to love and good deeds, to bless one another, to push and encourage each other towards Jesus Christ and relationship with him. If our greatest relationships in our lives are people without the Holy Spirit of God, that's a problem. One of the best ways we abide is by being in fellowship with people who also love Jesus. I would not be here today apart from brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. There's no chance, and you can't survive either. One of the great ways we abide. Do our kids' activities or sports take greater precedent than Christ and his church? If we answer yes to that question, honestly, that's a problem. Just want to pause. Just want the Holy Spirit to use the moment. And for a lot of us, if we're honest with ourselves, the activities of kids or life, or maybe it's our own personal pursuit of hobbies, if truth be told, church is way down the list. The church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the family of God, is so far down the list compared to other things. And we prove it by our time. We love what we spend our time on. And if that's the situation, we need to look at that quite seriously and to be thinking about that. Here's another question. Do we abide in our homes or properties to the neglect of Jesus serving his people or his church? Do we abide in our homes or properties to the neglect of Jesus? If so, that's a problem. Nothing is greater than Jesus. And again, this is, again, I'm just asking questions to convict my own heart and for you to be able to join in as well. We need to be honest with the Lord right now, because he's like, as if he's fooled, you know. We can't rationalize stuff to God. But let's just be honest where we are. Is my home, is my property being used to push me further away from Christ or to the neglect of him or his church? I'm gone all the time. I'm not involved. I'm whatever it might be. That's going to hurt us in the end. One of the last things I wrote down here is, you know, a lot of us abide in our kids way too much. Hey, your kids are great, man. Love your kids. Love my kids. But listen, my kids are not Jesus. No offense, kids. They're all here right now, okay? Hey, parents, listen. This is a needed word in our day right now. Your kids are not Jesus. Listen. Jesus, I need to say these things out loud so we can actually process this theological reality and apply it to our lives. Here it is. Ready? Jesus is greater than your children. I was hoping for more amens than that, man. That's amazing. But here's the problem, eh? I'm touching on a sore spot right here, too, because a lot of the times the way that we live as though our kids or special friends, whatever it is, they hold the highest priority of our lives to the neglect of Christ. That's crazy town when it comes to biblical theology and scriptural truth. Again, your kids are great. Bless them. Bless my kids. They are not Jesus. And if, listen, the whole point of abiding in Jesus first is that the relationship with family then becomes that much more blessed. And you put Jesus first and you see what happens. But you better show Jesus he's first. That's a very, very important thing that we need to do. And in our world, man, there's a ton of idolatry when it comes to children. Ton of idolatry, which is really about us as parents. Again, listen, I say this to you too, man. I got my own stuff I'm dealing with as I say it. And I love it. Lord, convict me and use it. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one as beautiful as Jesus. There's no one as great as Jesus. There's no one the source of love and life and power and strength and joy as Jesus. No one equates with Jesus. No one. No one. That's why Jesus says, whoever doesn't leave father, brother, mother, sisters for my sake cannot truly be my disciple, because he nailed it right there. He himself said, I'm first because he's best. He's awesome, and what are we abiding in, what we put our time in, proves what we love the most. And let me just say this too, okay? So if we are abiding in things or people more than Christ, what will the Father and the Son and the Spirit do because he loves us so much? He will bring suffering and discipline into our lives to get our attention, to break off false branches and prune us that we might see that he is the only source of life and joy. You say, where do you get that from, Robbie? Verse 2. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. So the reality is, because the Lord loves you and me so much, when he sees our lives out of priority, and when he sees our lives that we're abiding in false vines, at times he will bring difficulty and hardship to see that false vine cut off, and other times he will prune. Pruning hurts, but pruning is used to bear incredibly more fruit in the long term. Maybe you can apply that to your life right now. With the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in his grace and mercy, he has cut off dead branches. And he has pruned, because he loves us too much, to draw our attention back to him, where the source of life and love is truly found. Why must I abide? Jesus is the source of my life. He's the only way I'll bear fruit. Thirdly, finally, I must abide because apart from Jesus, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, tell me, nothing, nothing. Man, I wish Jesus was more clear, don't you? Like, I just wish you just would just kind of throw it on the table and lay it down and give us the bottom line. Isn't it amazing how clear Jesus is? Like, it's just amazing to me. Like, all through this passage, he's like, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And then verse 5, he's like, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me, you bear fruit. You don't abide in me, you can do nothing. That's amazing. Do nothing, can do nothing. Double negative in the Greek. Doubling down, zero. No spiritual good of any kind you will produce on your own. Wow. Jesus, thank you for being so clear. You know, I think too, so many people at the end, they'll stand before Jesus again in some form of judgment, and he will hold them accountable for the stewardship of their time. Jesus, why didn't you tell me? He'd be like, it's right here. How much more clear can it be? Some of us don't want to use that excuse. We do, right? We're like, he hasn't told me. Like, he's telling you today. He's very clear with you and me today. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Last time I checked, nothing meant nothing, right? If you don't abide, no fruit. That's pretty clear to me. No abiding, no fruit, no vine, no chance. That's all pretty clear to me. Is it clear to you? It's clear to me. If I don't abide, I won't be blessed. If I don't abide, I won't have life. I don't abide, I won't know love. I don't abide, I won't bear fruit. I don't abide, I'm not going to see God's blessing in my life. And we walk out of here and we fail to abide. And I'm just like, like this, right? Like, theologically, I'm like, this is where I'm like, oh, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to admit to the theological reality and the principles here right now to say, you've told me. You have made it so clear. Give me a heart to abide in Christ. Give me a will and a discipline to pursue you with my life. Give me a devotion that I may choose you over these other things, because I believe, Jesus, that you are the best. I believe that only by you can I produce fruit. You know, we think some dads here that you want your children to look up to you. Not without abiding, sir, friend, not without abiding. Everything starts with abiding. You want to have a healthy rockin' marriage. In Christ, not without abiding. 100%, the first thing you do is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want wisdom? Abide. You want love and forgiveness? Abide. You want God to raise you up as a leader? No. You don't abide, that does not happen. Not a chance. Not a chance. Not even close. Intimacy, integrity, influence. Intimacy is where it all begins. Integrity, godliness, with the intimacy, then comes God-given influence. Abiding. You want to be a better friend? Abide. You want victory over sin? Not a chance apart from abiding. You want to bear any and all fruit for Jesus Christ? Abide. Abide, abide, abide. Make Christ your home. So, where do we go from here? How do I do this? Where do I start? On the screen for you, some very practical application right now as we wrap up. What does this abiding look like practically? It's as we started, you must spend time with God daily. You got to make him priority. He's got to be first. You say, how do I do that? Okay, so we have a God time booklet Pastor Carl prepared a couple years ago. It's in our foyer right after the service. It is a wonderful, simple, practical booklet for you to look to say, here's exactly how you can organize your life to practically pursue God starting like now, tomorrow morning. Pick up the God time booklet. And if somehow we run out of these resources, we will make sure we get one for you or have more next week, whatever. I'm not sure we are with that. You got to spend time. We want to help you with this. Every week we're trying to help you as clearly as we can for things that matter most. You want to abide with God? You got to get in the Bible. This is all together, but you got to get in the Bible. We have Bible reading plans. I use one all the time. I need a plan to seek the Lord. The word of God is what is used. We talked about that so much. Prayer is abiding. We talked about that today as well. Verse 7 in our text are the two most important ways we abide. It says, the word of God, if my words abide in you and ask whatever you wish, the word and prayer. Those two things are the two most essential ways we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing new. It's very true. It's very beautiful. Intentional fellowship with other believers. We talked about that today. We have to be in community with other believers, a wonderful form of abiding. Active faith in Christ is abiding. What do you mean by the act of faith in Christ? Well, let's say Jesus has spoken today. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in me, apart from me, do nothing. So the person with active faith right now believes in what Jesus has said, and they actively pursue by faith to live out in their lives. The person without active faith hears today, they hear, they go, and they do nothing. The person who hears and does is the person that says, I believe that Jesus is true. I believe what he's saying is right. I'm actively choosing to put my faith in this and change my life as a result with his help and his strength. I just had to put this in here too. Sin, just to be clear, is anti-abiding. So if our lives are riddled with sin, actively pursuing sin, that is an anti-Christ behavior. That is an anti-abiding, anti-fruit, anti-joy, anti-love, anti-blessing, anti-power. And that's going to be helpful for some of us to hear right now. Sin is anti-abiding. And then there's so many things we could say. Surrender is abiding. And I wonder if today is a day where some of us re-surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of things for you to hear just before we pray. Jesus, I have been neglecting you. Today it's very clear. You have spoken to me. I've been neglecting you. I have strayed from you. My heart is prone to wander. This has been proven yet again. I have wandered away from you. Jesus, I confess these sins. I ask for your forgiveness. He will forgive you in a millisecond. He will forgive you in a millisecond. You will be forgiven if your heart is sincere. I have strayed. Jesus, I want to return. I want to return to you. His arms are wide open today, church. His arms are just like, yeah, you come and I will hug you. I will embrace you, Jesus says. I want to be in fellowship with you as intimately as possible. I want to return now. Today is the day I return. And maybe some of us today are saying, it's time I resurrender my life to Jesus Christ. I've tried it my way. I've been going my own path. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm miserable. It's not working. I give up. Today I see Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the source. Jesus is love. Jesus is the only way. I need to return to Jesus Christ. Let's just bow our heads and maybe we can pray this out right now. Worship team, you guys can come out. So Jesus, this is a fundamental, massively important text. I do believe it's one of the most important theological principles in the entire New Testament because everything flows from here. Everything flows from here, from abiding in Jesus Christ. Lord, if this church, if my brothers and sisters will choose to pursue Jesus Christ in abiding, this church will look more beautiful than ever before. It'll be filled with radiant, beautiful children of God. They will know blessing. They will know joy. They will know life. They will know giftedness. They will know stewardship of their gifts. They will be generous. They will serve. Everything begins with abiding in Jesus Christ. I pray right now there is an active surrender and faith to say, Lord Jesus, you are my answer. I return to you. As we sing this beautiful song in response to, use it, loved ones, use it as a prayer. It's a beautiful response and a beautiful prayer, perfectly aligning with our text today. And use it again. It's a prayer to the Lord. So help us, fill us. Holy Spirit, lead us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.